Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hello, I'm Angela.
I'm Jeffrey from In the Valley Below.
Let's see, we got your Memphis, we got your Michigan, we got your West Indies, you met in Los Angeles. We can fill in a lot of those blanks.
Let's see, I'm the oldest of eight. So I have a big family, and I think that not only relationships between lovers, but relationships between people you're forced to be with influences a lot of stuff.
I'm the youngest of three, so I think that might, or it just helps the dynamic between us, because we're both used to getting our way, but in completely different ways. Because I think the youngest gets their way by just being sort of bratty, and the oldest gets their way by being domineering. And so we're both used to getting our way, and so I think In the Valley Below is sort of the result of neither of us getting exactly what we wanted and just having to meet somewhere in the middle.
Okay, here we go. Comparisons. And we're not going to go down the beach house road, because you've answered that 50,000 times, and I already know that you'd be honored to be compared to beach house, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What's interesting to me is that people spend so much time deciding whether this is a band, a couple, a duo, a romantic entanglement, or a burrito. So what I'm more interested, and I don't think it's a burrito, when the two of you met, and you know, that tale's fairly well told, but when the two of you ran into each other in Los Angeles, and you were doing, like everybody, I mean, anybody that is doing what you're doing was in a different kind of band, and they played a different kind of genre, and one was playing grunge, and the other one was playing country. This is, if I asked out of 25 million bands, that adds up to anything that I probably like and have decided to play, I'm going to get that. That stew is there. It has to be there, or your music wouldn't be so good. But when you met, and when you got together, and when you sat down, and when you said, well, it's going to be weird getting along, but I think we're going to get along to make this thing. Do you remember some of the things you said to each other that then added up to what the sex, crime, and religion became?
Well, when it first started, I guess we weren't really open enough. We were both kind of shy, so we weren't open enough to talk about our past sex, crime, and religious experiences.
Not necessarily in that order.
Right, right. So we just tried to write a song together. I think the first song that we tried to write together was about cousins falling in love. But I think the sex, crime, and religion thing came up because a lot of the times when I write, I think about the past, and I think he does too, and whether it's crimes we've committed, or crimes of the heart, or crimes of the law, that those things definitely influence us.
But there was probably a place where 3 or 4 or 5 or 6.5 songs down the road, you looked at each other and said, you know, someday we might actually be signed to a label, and someday we might be opening at decent places, and someday we might be playing festivals, and someday we might be actually answering crazy questions like this. So do you remember, was there a pivotal point, or was it just kind of a continuum?
Well, I think it was a point in a continuum. I think we were, the first few songs that we wrote, like she said, they were pretty bad, honestly, and so we kind of just pushed through those and kept writing, and then we got, you know, 5 or 6.5 songs, like you said, and then we both kind of said, these are pretty good, and then kind of put those together. But we didn't have high expectations, because after you've been kind of doing it for a while, and you've been sort of, your standards have been progressively lowered by the sort of the Los Angeles music scene, because after you've been kind of doing it for a while, and you've been sort of, your standards have been progressively lowered by the sort of the Los Angeles music scene.
Ooh, good. Oh, take me down that road. Oh, please.
I meant to say expectations, not standards. Your expectations get continually lowered by the heartbreak of being in Los Angeles and getting sort of close to something and then nothing happening, and then close to another something and then nothing happening, and then so your expectations get sort of beaten down. So we didn't really have high hopes for this. We just figured we would put songs out there just because we liked them, and then maybe that was why it worked, because we weren't expecting anything.
Signing to Harvest. You have your own rehearsal space downtown. You have your own studio. You don't have the big producer with a hyphenated name making your records yet. And yet this is a gorgeous sounding record. And again, it got to me. And people made sure they sent me the single and they shepherded me. So you went from, you know, to having a team. So let's talk about that next level and how you got there. And let's get all the label stuff straight.
Well, the first step, I guess, was our manager came along, and he's sort of the captain of the ship, right? Especially when it comes to industry. We kind of try to keep our noses out of that part. I mean, we want to know what's going on, but it can make you crazy. And the first thing that we did was actually sign a record deal in Germany. It's a great little independent label there, and yeah, that's how it started there. And then our manager found us different labels in different territories, and so we kind of have a new, tried to come at it from a new angle. And so
this is the new model, though, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Letterman. I mean, I've already read, you were scared, it was freaky. But on the other hand, what an amazing opportunity. And so was that the manager too, or was it their music director is one of the best? So did you get to chat with them about that? And did you get to hear the why us?
Not really. I think that we were just at the, like, if no one bigger came along, then we could do it kind of thing. But yeah, I'm not sure. I think our manager, yeah, sent him the music, and thank goodness that they liked it, and we were just lucky.
I like this line. It's a complicated relationship, but we do like each other. But for people who want to read into that, can you take it one more level?
Well, we shared a bed last night.
Oh my gosh.
That's probably another level. What? I don't know what's going to happen tonight.
You can own that. In fact, that's... I was going to say, not only is that a great lyric, but that's your next t-shirt. I'm going to give you the microphone, and I'm going to ask you to ask him a question, and then you're going to ask her a question.
I notice sometimes you storm off the stage. What's going through your head at that moment?
I'm glad you asked that question. Usually in that moment, I'm thinking, God damn it, I'm sweaty, and I'm tired. And I don't want to pack up all this shit on stage. That's usually what I'm thinking at that exact moment. What color is your underwear?
Wow. I'm not wearing any underwear.
Boom, thank you. All right. So as the McKenzie brothers used to say, the Canadian guys, they would just look and go, they'd look at you and go, okay, beer. Okay, beer. So I'm not, if you think I'm going to ask thee, let's see, well, we know you like dark beer. And we know there's a link on your website. But I'm more intrigued that you take the time not only to make, but to explore. This seems to be more than a hobby for you. This seems to be really a passion. Beer, it's kind of, I'm looking at the two of you, and it's really fascinating. So do you think if the music thing doesn't work out, you know, you could just become the ultimate, get a reality show, and you are the beer connoisseurs, and you travel the world. And you try beers.
That would be, yeah, that would be the ultimate job, I think, to get...
Even better than this?
Well, maybe not a reality show, maybe more of like a documentary film.
You're also, the last thing, which is obvious, but I think it's kind of fun, this new video of yours. You know, people are already doing, and I love the kids today. Well, you know, it's little NSFW, so I don't know about this. In the old days, would you have gotten an MTV play? Does it matter? But you're already getting a vision for making some statements and attaching visuals to the music that are not just, oh, well, we're going to perform. You're going to challenge people, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, we might do some kind of Nicki Minaj thing next. Who knows?
Ooh, there you go.
It's just another process we're learning about and what you know we're capable of. So we're new at this whole thing.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is, I know, and you're like, what does that mean? Well, I will define it for you. It's two of your songs as the bread on the outside, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.